Books of the Bible. The Apostle Peter wrote to the elect exiles who were facing persecution for the sake of Christ. Peter exhorted them to trust God and to continue living godly lives. He reminds them of their hope in Christ and their high calling. When you want to learn joyful obedience, no matter what your circumstances, look to 1 Peter. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Yes. Yes, I am aware that this is going to be perhaps one of the worst segues in radio history. This is Wretched Radio. Does that mean I'm not going to use it? No, it doesn't mean that. It means that simply by letting you know that I'm aware of how horrible this segue is, I've deceived myself into thinking that I can get away with it. But probably won't. Sorry, was going to move on from the article that was written by one Mike Edwards. This was in the Christian Post, responding to Brandon Lake. He's a contemporary Christian artist. His hot hit right now is Hard Fought Hallelujah. I think he sang that with some fellow who had a lot of ink on his face, if I'm not mistaken, at some big whoop-de-doo event. It was a secular event. And maybe it was like the American Idol thing. When American Idol decided to do a hat tip toward Christians, I think Brandon Lake performed. It's a, Jimmy, check the ratings on the Hard Fought Hallelujah. I think we shared the lyrics. They weren't horrible, per se. They weren't profound and deep and rich. But the fellow who wrote Hard Fought Hallelujah revealed his heart when he described Bubba coming to church. He needs something like, well, his music. But these stodgy old hymns with big theological words like holy, holy, holy. Apparently, Bubba can't understand holy. I don't know what that means. I just use it as an expletive. Holy bleep. That's all Bubba knows. Well, I agree with Mike Edwards, who responded and said, Bubba ain't dumb. I know that there are some people who are not as educated as others. That's, I think, observable. But I don't think most people are just stupid. I just don't. I know that maybe whatever stupid means, I just don't think that people are like walking around dragging their knuckles. I think they've got plenty of gray matter. And I think that by dumbing down music on Sunday morning, I think that it's to not read the room rightly. Furthermore, I think it's a wrong reading because I just don't think that people who are actually wanting to go to church because they just know this something is busted here. It ain't right here. They don't want to go here dumb. I think that people want to go see something that is distinctly different. So many people these days are darkening the doorsteps of churches because they've just had it with the world. It is not delivering. They have been Charlie Browned enough. The football has been pulled. They're lying flat on their back. The world system has not delivered. Secular humanism is a bust. And I think that they want something different. And we're seeing that, aren't we? And it's interesting to me. Was reading a statistic. This was some big global study. Christianity grew by like 125 million over like whatever the years were. It doesn't matter. 2018, 2019, whatever. We're slowing down. Islam is growing. And the number one reason that Christianity is shrinking is defections. People who were born into a Christian home, they were raised to believe in Jesus to varying degrees, and then they abandon the faith. Most of them don't go anywhere. They don't become Buddhists or Muslims. They're nothing, which, by the way, is the category that is growing fastest. And right now in America, France, England, we're all under 50%. When it comes to Christian, now we're still the majority religion in the West, but that's shrinking. And we should ask ourselves the question, why the defections? And I think the answer can be found in, to a degree, what I think silly church represents. Just low, cheap, human, not very transcendent, and not very interesting. And if that's the Christian experience, then I'm not shocked that they defect. They're tired of eating a great big nothing burger. And we also need, I think, to recognize that the number one largest growing sect in Christianity right now, guess what, is music driven. The NAR stuff, the elevation, the Hillsong, it's all music driven. And what are people getting when they consume this type of music all the time? Nothing, honey. They're getting nothing. And I think that it shouldn't surprise us then when after a trial or a tribulation, or they just lose their emotional mojo, they just abandon the faith. Let me share with you what Mike Edwards from the Christian Post, I was trying to save time, responding to Brandon Lake, who said, we've got to dumb it down. Worship isn't therapy, it's theology. Brandon says Bubba needs songs where he can find himself. But Christian worship isn't about finding ourselves. It's about fixing our eyes on Him. When our worship becomes centered on human accessibility, we make ourselves the measure of God's worth. But the biblical pattern is the opposite. God reveals Himself, and people tremble and then repent and worship, at least according to Isaiah 6. And that just doesn't happen with these feel-good songs, which are such a sign of the times, that they're so self-focused. They're all about me. And by the way, got to sneak this in. If you're not listening to Brad Bigney's podcast, you gots to. His podcast this week, man, he is slamming it so hard. It's so good. It's so helpful and simultaneously convicting. Yeah, it's about marriage and parenting. I'm just about 35 years into it. And it was such a good reminder that it ain't about me. It's about the other. And that's why I think so many kids are reticent to get married. That might compromise me. I don't want to have to live for another. And so we see kids shying away from marriage, and we see people getting divorced because as soon as it doesn't please me, they are out of there. This worship music, it's all about ear tickling when it should be about our transcendent God. He wrote this, "You don't disciple a man by merely putting a mirror in front of him. You disciple him by putting the throne of God before him. The primary purpose of the church gathering is doxological, not evangelistic." I don't know who you are, Mike Edwards, but I say salute. Church is not for goats. Church is for sheep. This should alter everything that we do on Sunday morning. And all of the casual chit-chat and all of the focusing on individuals and the casual nature of things, we're there to worship God, not amuse the goats. Edwards wrote this, "The church exists first for the worship of God, then for the equipping of the saints, and finally to reach the world." This will also change preaching. It will. I'm telling you. Pastor, you know what I'm talking about. If you've never written a sermon, you might not like, what are you talking about? And I say that not because I think you're Bubba, but just because you haven't experienced this. The text is demanding something. And you can aim it different ways. Is it going to be a convictional word or will it be an encouraging word? Now, are there times when I think a gathering of saints need conviction? Of course, read the epistles. There's plenty of conviction. There's plenty of correction going on. Not suggesting that, but there's also a way to deliver that conviction. Is it to scold and to chide? Is it to think that maybe if there's an unbeliever here, they might hear this, be convicted, and then become a Christian? I would suggest that's probably aiming in the wrong direction. Why? Because you should be assuming that everybody there is a saint. Now, we know that they're not. And so we're aware of that, but we preach toward those who profess to be converted. And that changes your tone. It changes your message. It changes your goal in preaching when you remember this is doxological. We're here to worship God. And to feed and to encourage. It makes a difference. Back to Mike Edwards. Unbelievers are welcome in a church gathering, but they're not the centerpiece. And their comfort with the messaging isn't on the agenda. Sunday morning is not a production for Bubba. It's a gathering, a sacred gathering of God's people. Bubba should walk in and feel like he doesn't belong because he doesn't. It would be like me walking into the Shriner Temple, which I wouldn't do because, man, I got to tell you, just even the outside of those buildings gives me the creeps. Walk into a Masonic lodge, It should feel strange to me. I'm not a part of it. Same thing is true with church. When he sees men singing ancient words with unapologetic faith, maybe that will reach the guy. But the church loses men like Bubba, not because the worship is too deep, but because it's too shallow. Men don't need, or frankly want, to be entertained. Not like that. They need and want to be challenged, called up, given something to die for. We're feeding them sentimental fluff, navel-gazing nonsense. And we're wondering why Bubba abandons ship. And that leads us to a very lame segue. Is it possible that this low church, low worship attitude, that we do things for Bubba, not for God, we do things for Bubba, could be the very thing that while our file cabinets maintain an orthodox statement of faith are the very thing that undermines it and causes defection and shrinkage? Not unlike, here comes the segue, Jimmy. A seminary in St. Paul, Minnesota that's closing. And I know why. This is Wretched Radio.
You've most likely been there, sitting across from a therapist, staring at their degrees on the wall, listening while they give you a diagnosis and tell you what pill and prescription they think are going to cure all your ills. You walk out of the office carrying a label, and you wonder why you feel even heavier than you did before you walked in. That's why Dr. Greg Giffert wrote Lies My Therapist Told Me, because sometimes it's not the medication or even the diagnosis that's the real issue. It's that the whole system doesn't touch what's going on beneath the surface. Look, not every struggle is solved with a pill. Not every label tells the entire story. What if addiction's not just a disease? What if your anxiety is not just a chemical imbalance? And what if the diagnosis handed to your child is not the final word? The world gives its answers, but rarely does it ever deal with the heart. Scripture does. Order Lies My Therapist Told Me today at fortisinstitute.org/lies. That's fortisinstitute.org/lies.
So if we were going to be honest with one another, we would have to admit that every day our phone buzzes with celebrity scandals and political outrage and notifications of TikTok trends, all the stuff that doesn't matter. But what if your phone could deliver something different? Because it can. Meet Fortis Plus. If you haven't already downloaded it yet, I want to urge you to take that opportunity right now. It's free and it will replace noise with nourishment. Picture this, 7 new pieces of content every single day. And I'm not talking clickbait or gossip. I'm talking real truth for real life. The app is already full of hundreds of hours of content. Again, completely free. And when I say free, I mean free. I don't mean hidden costs and temporary trials and premium tiers. No subscription traps at all. Because while everyone else all over the world is selling you something, we are giving something away. Fortis Plus. Download it right now where you download your apps, or just go to fortisplus.org, because what feeds your mind shapes your life. Truth. It's meant to travel far. It's meant to reach deep. It's meant to change lives. But for far too long, even the best biblical teaching has faced barriers, paywalls, price tags, limited access. And at Fortis Institute, well, we've been thinking differently recently. What if we could break through all of those barriers? That's why we're launching our Truth Unhindered initiative. We have extraordinary plans for the end of 2025, plans that will transform how pastors and families and seekers access life-changing teaching. But to make this vision a reality, we need you now more than ever. Right now, going on through June 30th, every dollar you give will be doubled up to $250,000. Double the impact, double the reach, double the transformation. Visit fortisinstitute.org/truth today, because when truth breaks through barriers, lives are never the same. fortisinstitute.org/truth.
God has given the church many gifts for the building up of the body. One gift is exhortation, the spiritual ability to encourage, comfort, and admonish God's people. Whether God's people are oppressed, confused, or in error, God has provided the gift of exhortation to comfort, urge, and correct them. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Dun, dun, dun. Please tell me you could finish that. This is Wretched Radio. Could you finish that, Jimmy? Dun, 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 dun.
Dun, dun. Oh, no, you mean the...
No, no, no.
What?
The words.
Oh, the words.
Dun, 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 dun. Another one burns.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
Okay, you give great. Me a chance. Thanks for not proving my point. How is it that you and I can quickly remember songs? Was that, what, 1980 from Queen? But ask me what song I sang on Sunday morning. Wait, I take it back. I do remember. Actually, I do remember. Great. You know why I remember? No, Todd, we didn't ask, but I'm going to tell you anyway. Because there was a theme on Sunday, because I think it's helpful to have the entire service about the oomph of the sermon, which should have one point. So we began with, great is thy faithfulness, morning by morning, new mercies I see. Thou changest not, thy compassions, they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever will be, great is thy faithfulness. And then we sang a newer song. I don't, who sang this song or wrote this? It might have been Matt Boswell, Matt Papa. They're writing some good stuff. He will hold me fast. Maybe it was a Getty song. He will hold me fast. That is what a great song to remember. He promises the good work that he began in you, he will be faithful, there's our keyword, to complete it. He's going to bring you to the finish line. Don't you worry. Are you in Christ? Don't you worry. Your efforts aren't going to get you there. He will, because he's faithful. And that's what the sermon was about, the faithfulness of Jesus Christ, because we don't think that people are Bubba. We think that people are plenty smart, and they even recognize, hey, that confession of faith was about the faithfulness of God. Hey, in the confession of sins, you talked about our faithlessness. Hey, the music, it has the word faithful in it. And the sermon is about the faithfulness of Jesus Christ. The benediction, when we are faithless, he is faithful. That's why I can actually remember the hymns, which totally undermines my point that so often we struggle to remember Christian stuff, but man, dun, dun, dun. Another one bites the dust. I think that's all I know, and that's a good thing for all of us, because otherwise I'd continue. Jimmy, when was that song written?
You said it, 1980. 1980 by Queen.
It just hurts even more. it just hurts even more. Brandon Lake saying that church should be done for Bubba. Simplify it, dumb it down, give him music that he can hum along with and that he can understand. And I suspect that this will be one of the very things that actually undoes evangelical Protestantism. Protestants have found their way to just to shrinkage so quickly because they have compromised on Scripture. I wonder if evangelicals will stop growing because we've compromised on worship. We've compromised on ecclesiology. We've compromised on our understanding of who God is conceptually. Our file cabinets perhaps have a statement. Yep, there it is. You can read it. It's all good. I can't tell you the number of times somebody will send me an email explaining what is going on at their church. And I grant you, it's only one side of the story. But it's like, whoa, they're doing what at that church? So I look up the church and the statement of faith. It's like, that's solid. But having a file cabinet statement of faith and actually teaching it, professing to believe it versus actually teaching it are two different things. And there's a great divide. And I'm just wondering if this dumbing down, this simplified worship, this repetitive, mind-numbing worship, and these life hack sermons are going to be the very thing where people finally just go, you know, I really, TED Talks are better. They're just better than this. And I wonder if we're not going to go the way of mainline Protestantism, which is experiencing defeat after defeat. And I hold in my never before nicotine stained fingers just two examples. All right, maybe three, four, no, five, seven, I got all kinds of examples here. Starting with St. Paul, Minnesota. Guess what seminary is closing down after being in that location? It has existed for 150 years. It has been located in St. Paul for 120 years, and it is a beautiful campus. I'm just going to say it. I love the South, but I think Northern campuses tend to have more of that Ivy League sort of feel to this, sort of that Cambridge, Oxford kind of feel, more so than the South does. Just my observation. This seminary in St. Paul, is that considered the East Side, or maybe it's just St. Paul proper? It's beautiful, the buildings and the chapel. It's just a glory. It's like you think seminary and it's like whatever that image is, that's like, that's what a seminary should look like. That's what this seminary looks like, and it's going out of business. Okay, they're becoming more nimble, so they claim. In other words, they can't afford to keep the doors open. Why? Because people aren't going to it. Which seminary am I talking about? Luther Seminary. Board of directors votes to sell current campus and seek new space to better serve its mission. And you know what its mission is? Liberalism. Undermining the authority of Scripture. You say, how can you make such a bold claim? Because I've been there. When I read this, I was like, oh, wait a second. I know why they're in trouble. This is getting close to 20 years ago. 20 years ago. It was a Witness Wednesday, and I went to Luther Seminary. And I just wandered around with my little radio gear talking to students who were as Christian as what are the name of those two guys that deconstructed? Lee and Rhett and somebody. They deconstructed.
Ren and Stimpy.
Close enough. It's gonna just go. Ren and Stimpy probably aren't Christian either.
No, they're not.
So there you have it. It actually worked out in the end. And I was talking to the student. They were as postmodern as possible. And these were students studying to get a seminary degree. And I remember even then, I can almost visualize where I was. It was on like kind of a hill and it had a bench and it was level despite the fact it was on a hill. Somebody put some thought and money into it. And talking to this guy who was becoming a doctor of ministry, didn't believe in Jesus. What is going on? And then this was the kicker. This guy is walking toward a building. And I went up and I approached him. He was an older man. And I started to ask him questions about, for instance, the infallibility of the Bible. No. The inerrancy of the Bible. No. The exclusivity of Jesus Christ. No. I mean, nothing orthodox was coming out of this guy. And he was super polite, very nice, as liberals can be. And we shook hands and I said, hey, thanks very much. And he walked away. I got back to the station. The general manager called me in and said, we need to talk about what happened out in the seminary campus today. I had recorded it. And the fellow called up the station to beg the general manager for me to not play it on the air. Why? Because if somebody who was a supporter or who was on the board at Luther Seminary had heard it, he would have been fired from being the dean of academics.
Whoa.
At Luther Seminary. It was rotting 20 years ago. And I got it. That's one of the things. I haven't thought about it for a bit, but that's one of those things I look back and I thought, so John Hunter, he was the GM at KKMS back then, and we just decided, let's just not play that. We'll play the other stuff, but we'll edit that guy out. Kind of wish I hadn't, because he said it. He gave me permission. I always ask, hey, can I talk to you on the radio? Yeah, and then totally denied the faith. And now Luther Seminary is closing its doors because it's shrinking. Let's take heed. It might be a different formula, but the result will be the same. Protestantism downplayed theology. Evangelicalism is downplaying theology also, but really focusing on ecclesiology and worship. And if we don't start lifting it up and giving Bubba something transcendent to think about, we can look forward to being just like Luther Seminary. And we don't want that, do we? Up! Bring theology up! Bring worship up! And that is what people, I think, actually are craving more so than the ear-tickling, silly nonsense. And if we do not go lofty, and all the statistics currently are bearing this out, the churches that are squishy, they're dying. And I don't think it's long before this seeker-sensitive movement starts to see vast shrinkage. Why? Because they're dumbing it down. Mainline Protestants, it may have been theology. For evangelicals, it's worship. The result could be exactly the same. Shuttering the doors. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.